Well, as I perused the news this morning, looking at a new buffet of catastrophes, I saw something that convinced me even more, not that it takes a whole lot more convincing, to be honest with you, that we are going to win this cultural fight, that we are going to win this cultural war. It's going to get worse before it gets better. It's going to get very ugly, but we're going to win it. And this is the clip that convinced me that that's exactly what's going to happen.
My God, tax the rich. What a model, AOC. What up? I didn't know you model as well. Wow. Damn.
Yes, that's right. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the openly socialist champion of the working man, the paragon of redistribution of wealth, was seen at an event in an evening gown that said, tax the rich on the back, in red, in blood red. How unbelievably cutting edge. Here's the thing, though. In order to get into the event that she was attending, you had to fork over a significant amount of money for a ticket. Was it $1,000? $2,000? No. You had to pay $30,000 to get into this event that Miss Ocasio-Cortez had developed such a lovely evening gown for. I don't know if she painted that on the back by herself, but it looks like she did. And this is why we're going to win the culture war. Now, if you think it's because people are going to wake up to the hypocrisy of all of this, no, that's not it. That ship has sailed a long time ago. The ship sailed at least in 2006 or 7 when Al Gore had a house that consumed 6 or 7 times as much electricity as his nearest neighbors a year after releasing An Inconvenient Truth. Now, hypocrisy has no effect on these people, and there's very few people left in the country who don't understand just how hypocritical these people are. It's not about hypocrisy. It's about the sale. Nobody wants this stuff that they're selling. Nobody wants it. Nobody's buying the Gillette products that are woke. Nobody's watching woke football games. Nobody's going to watch woke movies. Fans are walking away from Star Wars and Star Trek. Everywhere it is sold, it is utterly rejected. And we've known this for a long time, too. So how is this any different? Well, AOC going to this event is not just an act of hypocrisy. And it's not just an indication that, gee, she hasn't got the slightest idea of optics or any of the rest of this political stuff. What it is an indication that the things that we believe in, like prosperity, private property, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, the accumulation of wealth through hard work, are so attractive to everybody that the champions, not the masses as they refer to them, the champions of the idea of redistribution cannot stay away from them. You know, it reminds me a lot of this story, apparently true story, that in the days before the 9/11 attacks, Muhammad Atta went to Vegas with a couple of the other jihadis and partied hard. The story behind it was apparently he wanted to taste what the great Satan was like, but what does that say? What it says is that what Vegas has to offer is irresistible. Even to the people who are determined to destroy the entire idea of Las Vegas, it is irresistible. And it's irresistible because it's so fundamentally human. Our philosophy is so fundamentally human, it's absolutely irresistible. And what they're selling is so anti-human that you can't force people to buy it. So if this is true, and it is, then why are we in the kind of trouble we're in? Well, it's because the left has managed to weaponize the single most important psychological effector in the human brain, and that's social proof. People will do what other people are doing. People want to be seen doing what everyone else is doing, and they certainly don't want to stand out and being pointed out as something evil. To give you an idea of the power of social proof, an experiment was done where there was a room full of people, and the entire room was in on the experiment. And the subject of the experiment went into the room, and a psychologist says, we're just going to be doing some cognitive things. And he basically held up a board, and on one board was a piece of string this long, and on below it was a shorter, significantly shorter piece of string. And he went to the first person and said, which of these strings is the longer one? And the person said, well, the one on the bottom, obviously. And he went to the second person, which is the longer one? Some kind of joke, the bottom one is, obviously. And he went down, 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 down the list. Now, the test subject, when they first saw that, was, of course, amazed and then a little amused. But as they went down the list, something began to happen. And when they finally got to this person, after the social proof had been reiterated a number of times, when they asked the person sitting there, which one of these two strings is shorter? The subject said the one on the top. He said that in spite of the evidence of his own lying eyes. And this was repeated again and again and again. Why? Why would somebody do that? Well, there's a couple reasons. First of all, some people just don't like to stand out. They don't want arguments and so on. Some people are so unsure of themselves that they really begin to question their own sanity. This is essentially what gaslighting is, by the way. When everybody else is telling you something that you know is not true, that to the degree that you start to question your own sanity. But this has been proven again and again and again. Now, social proof used to be a powerful effector. But when you multiply it by social media, it becomes enough to divert an entire society. And that's what they're good at. They're good at making people who disagree with them look and act as if they're evil. That's what political correctness is. We're not going to talk to you. You're a racist. That's what cancel culture is. We don't like what you do or what you say, so we're going to eliminate you. We don't want you visible because your visibility is destroying this gaslighting effort of social proof that we're doing. And now you know why there's such a thing as a limousine liberal. People who call for higher taxes then tell their accountants to lower their taxes. People who make large donations to Black Lives Matter and then are astonished when riots come to their town and destroy their houses or their shops. And the universal response is, wait, no, 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 I'm one of the good ones. Remember on 9/11, 20 years ago, shortly after, when Michael Moore basically said, why are you attacking New York? We're the ones that are liberals. We're on your side. You should be attacking the conservatives. Michael Moore doesn't know much about jihadis or their motivation, but he doesn't know much about anything. So you get the point, right? You've got a people here who have bought into a collective delusion. And that collective delusion is, we all agree that wealth distribution is fantastic. We all agree on all of these things. And if you don't agree, then you're an evil person. And not only are you an evil person, but none of your friends should have anything to do with you ever again. So, on one hand, they have what they think they should be. And on the other hand, they have what they want to do. And these things are contradictory for them and they're not for us. And that's why we're going to win. I just want to be completely clear about this because this is the entire point. We're not going to win because of the hypocrisy that is visible when you see things like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wearing a tax the rich gown to attend a $30,000 event. It's not the hypocrisy. It's much simpler than that. The people who are the champions of this idea don't believe in the idea. Now, I wrote a series about the Cold War, and I got to know the Soviet Union pretty well. I'd known it well before that. That's why I got to write it. People have come to believe that the Soviet Union fell apart once the terror went away, once Stalin and his purges disappeared. Then the Russian people just suddenly kind of relaxed and rebelled, and the next thing you know, the empire fell. That's not true. That is not what happened. Yes, the grip of fear loosened enormously under Khrushchev, but the love of communism increased because Khrushchev was delivering the goods. Khrushchev put the first satellite into orbit, beat those Americans who were so proud of their technological genius. Then he put the first man into space. Then he did a bunch of other things. And he delivered. People believed in it. And the people who were selling it believed in it. There's a lot not to like about Lenin and Stalin, which is pretty much everything, but they believed in it. And so did Khrushchev. But by the time you got to the 1970s with Leonid Brezhnev, he was a joke. As Glenn Reynolds pointed out on Instapundit related to this particular post that I saw, he tells the joke of Brezhnev basically showing his mother his incredible dacha and the fancy limousine and the marble floors and all of the wonderful things, travel by helicopter that he has as the general secretary of the Communist Party. And he's so proud of this. He's basically just showing off. And his mother says, Leonid, it's very nice, but what happens if the communists come back? The Soviet Union fell, and I ought to know this because my wife was there, because nobody believed in it anymore. It's not a question of the repression or the secret police. Nobody believed in it anymore. And when the champions of an idea that nobody wants no longer believe in that idea, or never did, then it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time.